طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Now we continue inshallah ta'ala. We continue where the author رحمه الله related the hadith of An-Nasa'i, reported by An-Nasa'i from the hadith of Abi Huraira rather. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من عقد عقدة ثم نفث فيها فقد سحر، ومن سحر فقد أشرك، ومن تعلق شيئا وكل إليه. An-Nasa'i, the author رحمه الله related the An-Nasa'i's report from the hadith of Abi Huraira رضي الله عنه that he said that whoever tied a knot and blew on it has committed an act of sorcery. And whoever commits an act of sorcery has committed an act of shirk. And whoever wore an amulet will be left to its control. So here, من عقد عقدة ثم نفث فيها. Whoever tied a knot and then blew on it. This blowing is with light. Blowing with right light. Now this is we are chapter 25 from Book of Tawheed. So with light wetness, blow with light wetness for the purpose of magic. Why we say this? Because if someone knots just a regular knot, you know, and then he blows in it so that it gets tight due to moisture, then this is not included. Now, the blowing for the purpose of sorcery is done by sorcerers sometimes to sway away, they drive away, which is called sun away. So they turn away the man from his wife, especially at the time of marriage contract, at the time of performing the marriage contract, so that the person turns off towards his wife, and then he will not have the ability to have intercourse with her. Whoever does this kind of knotting, then he has committed sorcery. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Falaq 113 verse 4, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and from the evil of that witchcrafts when they blow in the knots. And in this hadith, whoever commits an act of sorcery has committed an act of shirk. And this does not cover all types of shirk. Rather, what is intended here, the sorcery by way of the shayateen, the devils. And whoever, however, does it through or by means of medications and the like, then we learned earlier that he is not a disbeliever, but he is at a grave stance. Still, the one who makes sorcery by way of obeying the shayateen and using them in that which he wants, then there is no doubt that he is a mushrik. And then here at the end of the hadith, and whoever wore an amulet will be left to its control. So he makes this thing which he clings to, he depends on it. So Allah will leave it, will leave him to it, and will abandon him. And the relation of this statement, whoever wore an omelet will be left to its control, to the beginning of the hadith concerning the one who blows in the knots, that the one who blows in the knots intends through this means to reach his goal, so therefore he will be left to it, to that which is haram. Another angle, some who may be afflicted with sorcery by way of blowing may go to the magicians and be attached to them instead of going to the reciters and recitation and using lawful means of medication and legal invocations and remembrances. And anyone who depends upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will suffice him. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 5, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. And whoever depends upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. And there is a mistake here in the reference. It should be verse 3 instead of 5. And he who will, and whoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. Whether Allah will accomplish his purpose. So, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for the person, then it's inevitable that the person will attain that which he seeks. But whoever clings to anything with the creatures, he will be left to it, and he will be left to that which is weak and defective. Also, the hadith may include the one who may depend upon himself and becomes proud in what he says and what he acts. Also, he will be left to himself and will be left to his weakness, and therefore the individual should always depend upon Allah Azza wa Jal in his actions and his situations, even in the slightest manners. And with respect to others, also, it is to be said with respect to the humans, depend upon yourself. Don't ask others. Don't humiliate yourself before them. And be as much as possible sufficient from them. And with respect to Allah, always be dependent upon Him so that your affairs are made easy. From this type also, those who cling to some kind of writings or writings for protection, hirs they call it, which they hang around their necks and the like, they will be left to that. And they will not attain their objectives. But if they depend upon Allah and they take by the legal means, then they will attain what they want. And from that also the clinging to the graves, making them the site for refuge and for seeking matters from them and affairs. People who do that will be left to that. And the person it may happen that he may go into a fitna and attain what he wants when he invokes these people. However, this thing which he sought, it occurred when he invoked them, not by calling upon them. Meaning a person may stand by a grave and ask for something there. So he may get into a fitna whereby he may attain what he sought, and then he thinks that it is because of this occupant. And this will be a fitna to him. Those occupants cannot answer the dua. But when he makes the dua, he may be put onto or in this trial an affliction, such that Allah answers the dua. And this person would think that is due to the occupant of the grave. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 3, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So they cannot answer their invocations. Now this is the opposite of At-Talaq. This should be 5. 46, 5. And who is more astray than one who calls, invokes besides Allah such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put into tribulation whomever he wishes from his slaves. Now what's the relation of the hadith to the chapter title? The chapter title, as you may remember, is talking about the types and kinds of sihr, of magic. The relation of the hadith, أن هؤلاء الذين يتعلقون بالسحر, those who attach to sihr and magic and take it as a means to attain their goals, they will be left to that which they look for or use. And the end and the outcome will be regret and sorrow. Final outcome will be regret and sorrow. Then the author rahimahullah cited Ibn Mas'ud that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ مَلْعَضْهُ هِيَ النَّمِيمَةُ أَلْقَالَةُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. It is reported on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I not tell you what is Al-Adha? Al-Adhu. It is An-Namima. It is An-Namima. This exclamation, shall I not tell you, is of the type of drawing eagerness towards a matter, and it also may be for alerting, drawing attention, just like the saying of Allah in Surah As-Saff, verse 10, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Oh, who you believe, shall I guide you to a commerce that will save you from a painful torment? Why this type of exclamation? Because the person is eager to know, wants to know. And also, the one who is addressed should be mindful so as to know. So it fits both meanings. Al-Adh it covers both meanings, sowing discord and severing, etc. Then in the hadith the term was explained as an-namima, relating sayings to others. And then this was explained as al-qalatu bayna an-nas, sayings between people, relating them to each other, taking from this to that, and saying to this person, you see, this other one insulted you. Such and such insulted you. So this is conveying false rumors and news for the purpose of causing disputes between people. Namima. And sometimes it is irrespective whether he was truthful or lying. If he was lying, then this is a slander and namima. And if he was truthful, then this is namima. And the Prophet والسلام, as he informed, it causes discourse and disputes between people. You find these two people friendly, and this namam, the one who does this bad behavior of namima, relating the news, and he says to one of them, your friend insulted you and insults you. So this love turns into enmity, and discord takes place. And this resembles magic to sow discord, because in magic there is the causing the disputes and severing the ties. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:102, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا, so they learn from them, مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, so they learn that by which they cause separation between man and his wife. And namima, this type of sin is from the major sins, and it is a cause for the punishment in the grave, and cause also from depriving from entrance to paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا يدخل الجنة قتات, meaning no one who is qualified with this behavior, قتات meaning namam, relating the news in order to cause discord, will be admitted to paradise. And these are from the ahadith of threat, al-wa'id. And in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, which is agreed upon, the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed by two graves and their occupants were punished, one was punished because of namima. We seek refuge in Allah from that, and we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our tongues and selves secure from this practice. Namima, in addition of being one of the major sins, in reality it is a bad character as well. It is a bad character. And the person should not obey an-namam, the one who does this, irrespective of his condition. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Qalam, verses 10 and 11, وَلَا تُطَعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ, and obey not everyone who swears much and is considered worthless, a slanderer going about with calumnies. And you should know بونه does this namima to you, relating it, relating the sayings of others to you in order to solve discord, will do the same for you. Will do the same for you. So watch for that. Also, it is a cause for the corruption of society. When this namam intends to transgress, to cause dispute between two friends, then in this case he corrupts the society, because the society is composed of individuals, and if the society is disrupted by this means, it becomes, as Allah spoke in Surah Al-Anfal 8:46, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and do not dispute with one another lest you lose courage and your strength depart, and be patient. And if the society is not like an individual, then it cannot possibly be a society. Otherwise, it will be dispersed individuals having no strength. As the poem, as the poet put it in his poem, لا تخاصم بواحد أهل بيت فضعيفان يغلبان قوية. Don't dispute one facing household, or two weak ones overcome a strong one. And the other said, تأبى الرماح إذا اجتمعن تكسرا فإذا افترقن تكسرت أفراد تكسرت أفرادا. The spurs defy being broken when together, but if they apart, if they are apart, they will be singly broken. And if we examine the legal texts, then we will find them forbidding the means and causes that lead to discord and severing of the ties. Take for example what the Prophet ﷺ said concerning transactions. لا يبيع بعضكم على بيع أخيه. He forbade one to bid against another, his brother. Forbade one to bid against another brother. And in marital relations, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه. One of you must not ask a woman in marriage when his brother has done so already. All of this in order to ward off enmity and hatred between people. Then in the next hadith, which the author rahimahullah cited, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, إِنَّ مِنَ الْبَيَانِ لَسِحْرًا. And as it is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily some eloquence can be so beautiful, it constitutes sorcery, meaning because of its eloquency, it could be sorcery. Verily, min al-bayan, min, it could mean some. And it also could mean bayanun lil-jins, a meaning of kind. So according to the first meaning, if it is a sum, that some of eloquent speech would be magic, and other other speeches would not. The other meaning, if we take it to mean it, the kind, then إِنَّ جِنْسَ الْبَيَانِ كُلُّهُ سِحْرٌ. The kind of eloquency is constitutes sorcery. Al-bayan is eloquency, and this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الله تعالى in Surah Ar-Rahman 55 verses 3 and 4, خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. He created man. علمه البيان. He taught him eloquent speech. And البيان is two types. That which is inevitable. And this is common between all people. Any person who becomes hungry, he will say, إني جعت. I am hungry. And if he's thirsty, I will say, I am thirsty. And the like. This is common. Inevitable. The second, the bayan, carrying the meaning of perfect eloquency in speech, which captures the minds and changes the thoughts. And this is which the Prophet ﷺ referred to in this hadith. And in accordance with this classification, then min al-bayan, some eloquence, would mean that therefore some of this, and this is the perfect type, is sorcery. But if we consider al-bayan to mean only eloquency, then the term min al-bayan, min, will be for the kind. Now, what's the perspective about eloquency being sorcery? From what angle this is concluded? It is taken because it takes the thought and the heart of the one who is listening. So it will either incline him or turn him away. And therefore the hearer would think that falsehood is the truth because of the strong influence and strength of the speaker. So therefore he will be inclined to it. So therefore, if a person comes and speaks statements whose meaning is false, but because of his strength of eloquency, he will truly affect the hearer, and then he will be inclined to him, and this is sorcery. And if an eloquent person speaks warning against something true, and because of his eloquency, the hearer thinks that this truth is falsehood, so he will turn away from it. And this is from the type of sihr, which we learned about earlier, that the scholars called al-atfu was-sarf. Atf, inclining towards, and sarf, turning away from. And by way of speech and eloquency, this occurs, either inclination towards or turning away from. So therefore, it does the act of sihr. And Ibn al-Qayyim, for example, says about the huris, the hur al-ayn, in paradise, he says, حديثها السحر الحلال. Its speech is the halal sihr. Now, the Prophet ﷺ statement, إِنَّ مِنَ الْبَيَانِ لَسِحْرًا, verily, some of speech or eloquency is a sihr, is a sorcery. Is this blameworthy? Or it's praiseworthy? Or it is a clarification of reality? Then one looks at the consequence. The answer is the last one. That is what is intended. That is because eloquency, as it stands, is not blameworthy, nor it is praiseworthy, but one looks for the influence and what is intended by this fluency and eloquency. If what is intended from it is to ward off the truth and affirm falsehood, then it is blameworthy. Because in this case it will be utilization of a favor of Allah in a sin. You understand so far? And if what is intended is affirming the truth and refuting falsehood, then it is praiseworthy. And if the speech is utilized for the obedience of Allah and for the da'wah to Allah, then it is better from what? The one who is unable to express himself. But if a person is afflicted with a speech and eloquency to turn people away from the deen of Allah, then there is no good in that. And the one who cannot express himself is better than him. And in eloquency itself, there is no doubt that it is a favor. And that's why Allah mentioned it as a favor. And he said, فَعَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, and taught him eloquency of speech. Now what is the relevancy of the hadith to the title of the chapter? The author, rahimahullah, was wise in the title for his chapter he established. He said, بَابٌ, chapter, بَيَانُ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ السِّحْرِ, chapter, explaining some of the types of sihr, mentioning some types of sihr. But he did not make a ruling on them. Why? Because some of it is shirk, some of it is from the major sins, and some lesser than that. And some, that which is permissible, depending on what the person intends by it, and depending upon its influence and effects. This brings the end of the discussion on this chapter, chapter 25, alhamdulillah, is done. And in the next chapter we will talk about what is mentioned concerning the foretellers and the like. That will be chapter 26, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We will try to move quickly to the beginning of the fasting classes, inshallah, now the first class from Bulugh al-Maram.